Okay, we're now joined by our race winner, Kyle Larson. We'll go ahead and open up to questions. Please raise your hand and we'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start with Bruce up front.
Bruce Meyer with NBC and Forbes Sports Money. A lot of people up here, Mr. H, Jeff Gordon, said it kind of completed the circle of everything you wanted to do in May. Not the same race, but in a lot of ways, it's got to uplift your feelings as to the way you left here in May with some unfinished business. So how do you put all that into perspective?
Yeah, definitely. I think it adds to the emotion of winning here, and obviously this race means a lot to win no matter what the circumstances may be, but I think just with getting to compete in the Indy 500, you know, and then having the weather kind of get in the mix and not being able to compete in the 600, and then getting to come here and run the same paint scheme I was supposed to run at the 600, and then ultimately win in the fashion that we did with a lot of your things kind of going our way there at the end. So yeah, it was pretty emotional winning for sure, and I think it definitely feels like it completes the circle of you know, the double you know, this year.
Okay, we'll stay up front right here.
Yeah, Nathan Brown, Indy Star. Kyle, I know back, I think it was Carb Day, the whole Hendrick Motorsports, or at least your Hendrick Motorsports guys came here, got to experience a practice at IMS in May. And I know you wanted to be able to run for them in the 600 that you didn't get to do ultimately on Memorial Day weekend. What did it mean to be able to kind of close that circle for those guys on your team and pull out this win today?
Yeah, definitely. It was awesome to have them here on Carb Day, and you'll get to have them kind of see what this place is like for the 500, or at least the you know, days leading into it, and you know, Carb Day being probably the second biggest, you know, event of the 500. And yeah, I mean, just it was just nice to have them here to see them having fun and really enjoying it as fans and friends. And and then, yeah, I guess, you know, getting to kiss the bricks. I didn't really think about it until now, but getting to kiss the bricks with every single one of them that was here then is definitely special. So, yeah, it means a lot. You know, I had a lot of support from the five team while I was, you know, here away from them for a couple weeks. And, yeah, it's just great to win here for them.
Go back to the race today. When we're coming to the start of the first overtime and you see the six pull off and go into pit lane, I know you knew his fuel situation, but what's going through your head at that moment?
Well, leading into it, you know, we had a lot of communication on our radio about, you know, Brad was going to be really close on fuel and, you know, he may run out of fuel under these cautions. And so I was going to choose behind him no matter what lane he took, in hopes that he would run out before we got to the restart zone. And, you know, I was trying to pay attention to him and he was, you know, cycling his engine and you know, trying to clean and warm his tires up just to, you know, see if there was any bit of stumble. And then, yeah, he just ducked off on a pit road. And I was like, wow, like, I can't believe this is going exactly how, you know, we had kind of hoped and had thought about. So, you know, then I came to the restart zone, and I'm sure Ryan and I were both probably confused on, like, who is now the control car. I didn't know. I could tell, like, maybe he didn't know. So we kind of both, I felt like, took off at, like, the same time. You know, the pace was up a little bit faster, so it was just a bit confusing. But, you know, I was able to get the position into one, and then, you know, saw a big crash in my mirror and was a little bit bummed because, you know, I knew it'd be really hard to pass me after clearing to the lead. But, yeah, I had to sit through a lengthy red flag and kind of replay some things in my mind about, you know, how this next restart might work out. And, you know, thankfully it just worked out where I could get barely clear. He did a better job the second time to hang with me. I thought he might almost have leverage enough to stay side by side exit of one. Because if he would have stayed with me exit of one, you know, who knows who wins? You know, we're probably three wide down the back stretch with the 45 coming. So, yeah, just thankfully I was able to edge out through one.
All right. We'll try to get around to everybody's questions. We'll go to Dustin next.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Kyle, a couple questions. after the first pit stop, you're following Chase, and he gets caught with the blend line violation, and you had two tires over, but came and I think had two on the line really close. What was your understanding of the rule, and did you, when you saw Chase, did you think he's in trouble, and did that kind of help keep you off the line in any way?
Well, so, I mean, we kind of, as a team, communicated or tried to on Friday of, like, what is the rule? None of us knew what the rule was, and I don't think NASCAR initially knew what the rule was, because then we started kind of getting communication with them afterwards. You know, I think Chad Canales was kind of getting our opinion, drivers on a group text we were in and all that. And because when I was here for the 500, you're allowed to kind of straddle that first white line. Like, you're not allowed to get your lefts over it. So I was kind of used to that and did that on Friday. But then I think it was Saturday, probably before the Xfinity race, I think they had released the rule where, because there's what, I don't know, two white lines or something. The way I understood the rule was that you couldn't get your right sides over the far white line, because then you would be deemed on the racing surface. So that's what I did. And yeah, I was following Chase, and he swung way out. And yeah, I was like, man, that's got to be a penalty. But if it's not, you know, at least I know, like, how much further I can swing out. So yeah, I think it took him a couple laps to maybe find a replay, I'm guessing, of it. And then, yeah, ultimately he got a penalty, and I didn't. So I knew that, you know, what I did was legal.
Jeff Gordon talked about the creativity you used in getting by people, especially the latter part of the race. So how do you pass at a place where supposedly you can't pass? And how much did your IndyCar experience help with, Jeff referenced the timing of runs and things like that?
Well, I think it was circumstance. I think if the guys in front of me are not worried about fuel, then I don't pass, you know, because I was stuck back in 20-something early in the race and went nowhere. So what worked out in my favor was, you know, getting by the 9, and then, you know, I made a move on the 45 to get in front of him. So now I'm the highest running car with the best fuel. So I could be on offense while all the, you know, top 15 or whatever in front of me, I could tell they were saving, you know, because nobody got stretched out from Brad. Like, everybody's just nose to tail. And, you know, when you're that nose to tail, you know, there's just an accordion, you know, like at the end of the straightaway, everybody starts lifting earlier and earlier and earlier. So, you know, I could just pop out kind of late, catch him off guard some, and make the move. And it was pretty easy until I got to, you know, the top 6 probably or 7. And I think I'm guessing teams were kind of communicating to their drivers what I was doing. So the pace got just a little bit quicker, and the air was getting cleaner, you know, towards the front for those guys. So it got tougher, and you know, once I got to third, I was kind of stuck at that point. But my only hope then was that they're going to run out of fuel. But then, yeah, we had the yellows and the cautions, and ultimately things worked out.
Go ahead, Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. I'm on your left, Kyle. Kind of following up on that, Cliff just said that he felt like you gave the team an edge that nobody else had today in your ability to conserve fuel and also have speed. And there was that moment when you, I think, in stage one or stage two, you were like, objectively, what do I need to be doing here? And Cliff was like, I need you to conserve fuel. I need you to pass as many cars as you can, which seems like two things in direct opposition. Like, how did you do that? Like, how did you just make that work so well?
Well, I didn't pass many cars then because the pace was faster and I couldn't. But I just tried to pass as many as I could when, you know, the kind of people were getting stacked up. And then when, you know, everybody kind of strung out, I just tried to save as much fuel just to give us more chance and more opportunity on pit road, whether, because you don't know how the race is going to play out, but typically if you have more fuel in the tank, your options are better. So yeah, I was just trying to save as much as I could. Ultimately, I don't even know if it mattered. I don't know if, like, that point of the race, me saving, ended up mattering. I mean, maybe it did, I don't know. But regardless, yeah, I just you can't, it was really, really hard to pass at that point in the race. So I felt like the best thing for me to do is just, you know, save as much as I could, try not to get passed from behind, and, you know, give us some more opportunity to, you know, whether to stay out or take two or whatever, to gain some track position that way.
And then after the race, after the win, you said that you love Indiana fans and you know that they love you. And I'm sure that a big part of that was what happened in May. So can you kind of like take us through that journey of like how that love affair has kind of grown over the last few months? And was there a moment in May when you sort of realized it, like a practice or a carb day or whatever, that you were like, wow, this is really something real?
Yeah. No, honestly, I feel like even before May, like every time I come here, you know, I lived here for a couple of years and raced locally, you know, throughout Indiana and the Midwest, and you know, Indiana fans love their dirt track racing. So I've always felt the support here. And then, yeah, obviously doing the Indy 500, I feel like it exploded for Indiana fans. You know, I felt like when I was here for the 500, like there were so many people wearing my T-shirts and my little, you know, jersey things that they made and all that. So, and I recognized just as much of that, you know, here today. There was more, I feel like, 17, you know, McLaren papaya gear as there was, you know, 5 Hendrick Haas gear. So, yeah, that I could tell that there was a lot of fans that were back today from, you know, the you know, weeks of the 500. So, yeah, I could tell, you know, my cheer during driver intros was really, really loud. And then, you know, even the caution there when I was in third, like, you know, I look in the stands and like all the fans are, I felt like, you know, getting jacked up for me. So yeah, just it, anytime you have good fan support, it makes it, special. So, you know, it's, it was cool. I love the Yo Indiana fan base.
All right. We'll go to Jordan next and we'll come up here and then we'll go to Bob and Jeff.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. In the situation where Brad pulls off pit road late there, is it fair to Blaney in that situation that he is now the control car, but he's in the outside lane, which is disadvantageous? Is that a situation where he should be given an opportunity to repick, basically?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the correct answer. Sure, if I was in his position, you know, maybe. But that the way the rule is written currently, you know, it's not. And It would have been, I don't know, it would have taken a lot of time. I mean, it would have taken a couple more laps of caution because they would have had to quickly, you know, quickly call off the restart. And then we'd have to go single file another time and then choose and then go. So, I mean, I don't know, what's that, two extra laps. So, you know, that's kind of boring, you know, especially on a 2.5 mile track. Like, that's minutes of time going by. So I'm sure I'm sure they're going to look at it, you know, NASCAR, and see what they come up with. But, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I don't know the right answer for sure.
And you look at the speed you guys have had, and maybe not necessarily the results, but the speed you've had over the last 5-6 weeks or so. Does it feel like you guys are on the cusp of really kind of like doing something special if you can start getting the finishes to go along with that speed?
Yeah. I don't know. I think. Sure, I feel like at the 5 team and at Hendrick Motorsports, you always feel like you're on the cusp of something great. It's just next-gen racing is so hard to be consistent. Like these guys lately that I've been consistent, it's pretty impressive. But I hope that we can keep winning and keep running up front. I feel like we've done a great job really all year, except it's got a little bit wonky here the last 4 weeks or so. We've been kind of 2023 Kyle Larson again, where we're either running good or crashing. So hopefully, you know, we can come back from these 2 weeks off and get back to consistently run up front and giving ourselves more opportunity to have days like today.
All right. So we'll come up here to the gentleman in the blue shirt and then to Bob and Jeff.
Hey, Kyle. Doug Turnbull from PRN. On the radio broadcast today, there are a couple times we noticed, this is not germane to the ending of the race, but we noticed you and Denny Hamlin getting a chance to race hard again next to each other, and I want to know, is there any thoughts crossing your mind then, because the auspices are so close and the margin for error is so little? And secondly, I noticed under one of the long yellow flags that you seemed to show some displeasure to Ross Chastain. I saw a love tap, so I don't know if that was
playing
around.
No, I wasn't displeasure at all. I was just bored, having fun.
Well, and so then the racing with Hamlin, was there any thought there with the narrative that's gone over the last few weeks that has been well publicized?
No. As far as Denny, you know, I feel like he was doing what he could to benefit his race at the time, and there was probably, I'm guessing, some communication about the moves that I was making, because, you know, those guys towards the front started protecting, you know, lower, so it was making it a little bit harder for me to pass. But I don't think he was doing anything egregious or anything like that. We were just racing hard, and we're just gonna race clean too, which was good.
Thank you.
Right back to Bob.
I'm Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. You said you hope to announce something soon on the Indy 500 for next year. Is there anything that's, I'm going to say, holding it up, but are there any hurdles, or do you expect that to happen?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we've definitely been talking about it, and I think weighing, you know, what's important to, you know, everybody. So it sounds good, I'll say, so far, but things could change. So, we'll see. I would obviously love to do it. I think everybody knows that I would love to do it, because in my mind, I did not get to do it this year. I didn't get to at least do the double. So, yeah, I hope that the pieces can fall into place, and you know, we can hopefully get things put together and announce something, and get excited about doing the double next year.
And does kind of the good fortune of today give you any more faith that you can have good fortune here in an Indy 500?
I hope so. I don't know. I mean, getting to live through that race this year, like, it's obviously a very tough race, very similar race, but very, you know, tough. Just like those Penske cars are stupid fast. Like, I don't think, you know, Pato did a great job to almost win, but it was going to be virtually impossible, I felt like, for anybody to beat Joseph. But hopefully, you know, next year with the hybrid stuff, you know, there's more opportunity for more teams to be faster. And I will say it's pretty special, you know, and hopefully someday I can get the chance to win the 500, because, you know, I've won on the dirt track at the BC 39, got to kiss the bricks there, and then now today in the 400, you know, I guess there's one more to check off and would be, you know, Indy 500, which would be pretty special.
Go ahead, Jeff, and then next to him after that.
That mattered because it was such a track position game, but do you have any sense of, like, who had the fastest car today? Did you?
Yeah, great question. I don't know. John Hunter must have been fast, because he drove off, like, a long ways there when he got the lead. I don't know if people were saving fuel at that point or what was going on, but he drove off, so he had to be pretty good, but I don't know. I think my car was really good. But I just don't know. I never got to be out in the lead, really. You know, there before we made, like, our final pit stop, who was second? Whoever was second, John Hunter, maybe. He pitted, and there was, like, a big gap to Ross, and, like, I busted off a couple really good laps. So, you know, I guess we could go back and look at, like, how those lap times compared to other leaders. But as of right now, I don't know who had the fastest car. I think we definitely had a first or second place, you know, probably best car.
Thank you.
We'll go right next to you, Jeff.
Justin Schuler kicking the tires. I don't know if you're aware, but this is Cliff Daniels' 20th win in the Cup Series. He didn't quite know where to rank this one, because he's won them all with you, and you've won some big races with Cliff. So I know you've had a couple other wins before coming to Hendricks. So where would you rank this win with Cliff, considering the two of you have won a few big ones together?
Yeah. Definitely up there for sure. I mean, maybe the top, you know, because this is probably the biggest race that we've won. You know, I mean, I guess number two, right? Like, the championship, winning at Phoenix, I think that it's hard to top that, but you know, Brickyard 400 would be right there. So yeah, just special to have the success that we've had together, and together as a team too. It's more than just him and I. So you know, the team that he's assembled is amazing, and the, you know, the level that, you know, he holds everybody to is extreme. And you know, getting to celebrate with him today, you know, kissing the bricks you know, there before we both came up here together was pretty special, and I think something we'll be able to look back on, you know, years and years down the road together when we're both retired and think, you know, it's pretty special. But it's sometimes it's hard to like really appreciate everything that we've had success doing together currently, because we're both in our primes and both itching for more and more. So yeah, hopefully there's a lot more celebrating that we'll get to do, you know, in our careers together.
Okay, we got time for about one or two more. We'll go right here.
Zach Carter, the Herald Bulletin. Obviously, congrats, Kyle. I know Jeff Gordon won this race, the first one ever. Is it special now that 30 years later, you two kind of get to share that now?
Yeah, for sure. And having him here, but Rick Hendrick especially, you know, having him here today, I don't think he's been with us since maybe the Daytona 500, so... Yeah, getting to have him here, getting to be next to him to kiss the bricks was something I'll cherish forever. And then also same thing, you know, I got to take a picture with Jeff Gordon, just him and I, you know, on the bricks together with the trophy a little while ago. And that's, you know, something that I'll probably hold on to for a very long time. Because, I mean, he means a lot to all of us drivers that are my generation who probably wouldn't maybe not be here today if not for him paving the way. So... Yeah, I mean, and, you know, him winning that race 30 years ago probably could have helped me get to where I'm at today. So he's just really old. That's a long time ago.
Okay, go ahead, Beck.
Kyle, Alejandro Alvarez with NASCAR Digital. When you climbed out of the car, you were on FaceTime with Owen, I believe. Normally he rides in the car with you after victories. What was it like to share that moment with him, albeit virtually?
Yeah, it was, that was really special. That's like the first time I think I've gotten to FaceTime my kids, after a win. Obviously, I wish they would have been here today. You just never know how things are going to play out. Like, if I would have known I was going to win today, I would have told them to ride over from Eldora last night. But they went home instead. So, I wish they could be here, but it was still special to get to FaceTime them in Victory Lane. And then Caitlin even had them on FaceTime while we kissed the bricks the first time. So... they kind of got to live it virtually, but hopefully down the road, y'all get the chance to win here again and have them here. Would be awesome.
Okay, we'll wrap with right up front.
Tim Haley with Eat My Ink. Everybody up here discussed the paint job as being a motivator, and you guys are such... professionals. Can you tell me how a paint job is more motivational than it would be without it?
Well, I think the motivation for us, at least for myself, and I think even for our team, was that, you know, it was the paint, the paint scheme that I almost didn't get to run, you know, because I didn't get to run the 600. So it was important for me to run that paint scheme here at Indy. And, yeah, I think for sure it probably gave extra motivation to have a good showing. It meant a lot to me that Hendrick Motorsports and Hendrick Automotive Group, you know, was able to approve us getting to run that paint scheme again here. And, you know, now we get to have some race win diecast too, which would be pretty special.
All right, Kyle, congratulations. Thanks for coming in, and enjoy your vacation next week.
Yeah, thanks. You guys too. Thank you.